You're about to hear something that I never thought I could play for you. In fact, I never thought that you and I would ever be able to even hear this. It's a private conversation, but it's one that we got permission to play here. So, do you know how in some of the hundreds of interviews that I've done on Mixergy, entrepreneurs have said that they found their idea for a business by calling potential customers, asking them a series of questions, and uncovering ideas that those customers were willing to, in fact, eager to pay to buy. And you might have even heard experienced entrepreneurs say that they did similar things with their customers and their competitors' customers so that they could understand what to create, what people will pay for. Anyway, we've heard stories of people doing this on Mixergy. We've heard how to do it on Mixergy. But what we haven't yet heard on Mixergy is an actual phone call with an entrepreneur talking to an actual customer and hearing that customer say, yes, that's the idea. I would pay for that. Build it for me, and I'll give you my money. Anyway, so Dane Maxwell, who runs a group called The Foundation, where he teaches entrepreneurs how to uncover ideas and how to build those businesses, actually made a phone call where he got that kind of information out of a potential customer, and you're about to hear it. So before I start, I should say my name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy.com, home of the ambitious upstart, the place where I usually do interviews with entrepreneurs, but we've got something a little bit different for you today. And the second thing I want you to know is that before the actual recording of the phone call, Dane's going to set it up in a short video, then we jump right into it. So let's get started.
Okay, so Andrew Warner asked me to share probably one of the most valuable pieces of content that exists in the foundation. And the foundation, I was about 3 months in, I was starting to doubt the process, starting to be unsure that what I was teaching actually worked. So what I did is I went ahead and followed my own advice, and I went and called up my pool cleaning company. They come and clean the swimming pool. And on that call, I said, hey, you know, I do software, and I know you guys know this, and I wondered if maybe we could do a phone call and see if there's any opportunities to help your business. And do you have a couple minutes to answer a few questions? They said yes, and so I hit the record button, and I proceeded to do a 40-minute idea extraction call and extracted two product ideas on this call, one of which the guy was willing to pay $500 a month for, and that would be for that's a $6,000 a year client, and the product would have cost me less than $6,000 to build. This idea I have not pursued. It's fair game. Anybody can take this idea. Because ideas are so abundant to me, because I have this process of idea extraction, I'm not worried about sharing the idea. And I would like you, if anybody wants to pursue the idea, go ahead. And with that said, enjoy this audio, and hopefully it expands your mindset as to what's really possible in business.
Tell me that again. So what is it that you have to do 4 or 5 times?
Okay, to generate a job ticket, okay, to generate a job ticket, you would call in and say, I want an opening. Well, they either ask you or they don't ask you sometimes, you know. What do you want? You want a full opening, or do you want us just to start it up? What do you want us to do, you know? So that's step one, okay? Step two would be then they would go from that information, go look on the file for what we have in the computer from last year. And then step three, they would print up a job ticket according to what information they had just found to create a job ticket. Well, then the job ticket goes out with the guy to the job. He puts in what they do in their time. Then that comes back to the computer, to the person there. Then they put all that information into the computer to print out your bill. Does that make sense?
So there's 5 steps. So someone wants to open up their pool, they call you.
Yep.
And they're like, I want to open up my pool, and then they got to go back and forth and figure out a date and time. Then they tell you what they need. You need to take the cover off. You don't need to take the cover off. You need to install the salt water thing. You don't need to install the salt water thing. Then what happens next? The person, your wife on the phone, does what with that information?
Then she puts that back. Then when the job ticket comes, okay, the last thing you did was, okay, so she's got the information. She takes the information and makes a job ticket out of it.
And what? But how does she create the job ticket?
On the computer. We actually have a form, you know, on the computer, and then she would type on just the address, and then she would put in the notes what you want done. You would have to type it out.
Where does this form come from?
We created our own form.
In what?
That form's on Excel spreadsheet, isn't it? It's on an Excel spreadsheet.
Okay, so she fills that out. Does she have to do anything before she fills out? This is the job ticket she's creating?
Yep, the job ticket. Well, the right way to do it is to make sure that she has all the stuff. So say if you just call in, she would like, I'm trying to think. Okay, you call in, you talk to her, so she would go and look on our computer, what did we do at your house last year? How many hours did it take to open your pool? And what was done, okay? And that way, the guys know just about by what's going on, by what information they've given. And there's some, that's where it gets lost in translation to where she looks at it. She might not put down there, cover just once pool started. If she forgets to put that down on their job ticket, they'll go out and completely do everything on your pool. And then you'll call up and go, hey, I just wanted my pool open. You know, I just wanted it started up. We compare on it. So we give up time, chemicals, and everything on a deal like that. You know what I mean?
What does that cost you, do you think, if that happens once, one time?
One time? It can cost us as much as $300 in one time.
And how many times?
Chemicals and hours.
And if you're going
to I would say in opening season. And that's why I try and stay tight on that stuff, especially opening and closings, you know, because it's so people change their mind from one year to the next, and it's we need a clarification of it. But I would say 10 to 20 times every season.
Okay, so anywhere.
Yeah, you're losing a couple thousand dollars.
No, you're losing. You're losing 3 to 6 grand.
Yeah.
Did you just say 20,000?
Well, if we're losing probably 2,000 to $4,000 there could happen every season.
You must be a math major.
Why?
Just adding a zero accidentally.
What?
Well, you're just adding a zero accidentally. I was just poking fun at you.
Oh, yeah. I was adding an extra zero. Too many. No, I'm not a math major, but...
Okay, so, all right, step one, I call, I need to get my pool opened. Step two, she goes to create a job ticket, but in most cases, I don't give her all the information, so she's got to go back to my file and figure out the information to fill out all the job ticket, because I don't tell her my address, my date of birth, and everything else that you guys might need, right?
Right.
And then, so she fills out the job ticket. What happens after she fills out the job ticket?
Then she gives it to the guys. The guys take in, go do the job.
How does she give it to the guy?
We have a file where we have the, you know, dated file. So, say she puts it in a, it's in a drawer where there, it's, dates of the month, you know, 1 through 31. So when they come in, they pick out the files out of that that they're going to take. So say it's the second, they come in and take the stuff out of the folder for the second.
Say that again?
They would take the job tickets out of the folder that's marked the second.
Why the second? You know, what's the second?
Say it again?
What's the significance of the second?
Well, I'm just saying that's a date. Or it doesn't matter whether it was the day they came into work, it's the third or the fourth or the fifth. Whatever day they come to work, they would go to that folder and pull out whatever paperwork's in that folder.
And is this like a folder on a desk somewhere? Like these are the upcoming jobs?
It's in a drawer, yeah, like in a file. It's in a, like in a file cabinet.
And you have a specific section where your workers go to see all the new jobs?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, they just go and look, yeah. And that this one file has 31 folders in it, and they're each dated from 1 to 31.
Oh, interesting.
And then each month, yeah. So then they as she builds them, then she just slips them into that folder. What date they're on, they're supposed to be on. You know, so say it's the 20th of the month and you've called in. I want to open up next month on the 2nd. She would then do her process and then put the paper into that folder that says the 2nd.
And is that
so then next month, when the second gets here, they automatically just go to that drawer and pull it out.
So do they only look they only look at the second when it's the second? They don't look like at the third, fourth, and fifth. They're only looking at that one day at a time.
Exactly, but it would be better if they could look ahead. You're correct, and we do put it on a calendar. Now we have a calendar that we use. What's the name of that calendar we use? Do you remember? It's a calendar. Hang on, I'll tell you what we're using, but it's on the computer. We have a calendar. We can Outlook. Okay. And we use that calendar, we make a schedule on that. So if they want to look, and all that does is show them the names of who's coming up. If they want to physically look at it, then they could, you would go on the computer and click on it, and then it would bring up. They take the information that they put on the job ticket and re-enter it into the Outlook calendar. So they're entering it in twice. On the job ticket, then they retype it in on the Outlook. Okay?
So
that
so
way, if we want to know, hey, I want to know what jobs I got for the month, or as you're calling in, we're getting a bunch of phone calls, right? Well, she looks and says, well, this day's already filled up. She looks on the calendar. You know, you want the third. Well, the third's filled up. We have openings on the fifth that we can put you in on the sixth, you know? So she's looking at the Outlook calendar. And on that calendar, when she does the job ticket, she also has to fill out the information with your address, your name, what you want done on that, as well as the job ticket. So there's a double time spent there typing in information.
This whole process just sounds very painful.
It is. It sucks. But I tell you what, when I worked for that other company, that's what's happened there. And, you know, I've never figured out a way to do, yeah, it'd be great if you could, like you said, you could go online, look, type in what you want. You can see exactly what's there. You can see the price for each part of it. And you say, well, look, I want to save money this year. I'm going to take my own cover off. Well, look, I can save $50, for instance. You know, chemicals I sell pretty cheap anyway, so it's pretty hard to beat my chemical price. So, you know, some people would see that, and this would be a benefit to me. They could say, oh, wow, here, look, instead of me going up here to Leslie's or going over to another pool place or going to, look, I can get the stuff from him the same price, and I don't have to go after it. So let's have him leave chemicals for the season, or I want this much stuff left, you know what I mean, so people can have that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that, if you could go online, which, 80% of people now use their online access to things like that?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it better, more than that now? I mean, so if there was a way to do that and then take what was entered in and just automatically put it so it prints out a job ticket, puts it into the calendar, you know, automatically does all that. So it's just, they do it online. A person doesn't have to just go online, comes to my office, and it automatically puts everything on. That would, you would probably save me about 4 to 5 hours a day. That's no kidding. I would bet at least 4 to 5 hours a day. The time they sit here, make out job tickets and stuff, answering the phone, you know, getting the stuff, printing it out, then the guy's doing, and then if it could, and I don't know how far you can take your programming, but I'm sure it goes everywhere now, is be able to put it up on the phone. If the guy's going, because we have smartphones, the guys each have a smartphone, and if it could go to that so they could read it on there, they don't even have to pick up a job ticket. Then when they're done at the job, they can use their phone, and I know now they're tracking phones. They can track their phone and say, look, this is the time I got here, click. Now I'm done, click. This is what I've done, you know what I mean? So that can all be date, time, stamp to where then a customer, this is another thing they lose money on. The customer says, well, your guys weren't there that long. You know, they might be there for 2.5 hours. All your guys were here for an hour. Well, tracking that date stamp and where they're at, it would be a great thing to say, here it is. You know, this is the work they've done. This is what you requested, you know, by your order. Yeah, you could probably make those few things right there would probably generate me at least another Let's see. I probably get back about $50,000 in time and expenses is what I figured out each year to people that complain and say, well, that's not what I ordered, that the guys weren't there. And you know, my guys don't lie. You know what I mean? It's like there's no reason to, you know? So if we could date stamp the times and where they're at and track that at the same time and do it all together, that would be awesome. Can it be done?
Oh, it can be done.
Yeah, I mean, that would save, if you could tie all those things together, or as much as you could, you know, they have tracking things now, and I tried them. I tell you what, I spent $1,800 to $2,500, I don't remember exactly now. It's called, what are those pocket clocks, they're ferals. And I actually got them. If you want to look at them, you can. They actually have those where they push it and it triangulates and stamps it where they're at. The problem with those were that they would put them in the middle of the ocean sometimes. You know what I mean? They might be in Australia. They didn't work. You know what I mean? And I spent the money on them and tried them, and we tried them for a season, and it just didn't work. It was too complicated.
What are you talking about? What are these things?
Well, they're trackers is what they do. They're like they call it pocket clock. You can go online with that pocket clock. They're trackers. They're time trackers. So they're like a time clock that guys carry with them. Not actually bring them over and let you look at them, or you can play with them if you want. I don't care. But they actually have the times, and they can put the jobs in there. We could actually put the jobs into these things, and. You know, and put in where they're going and what time, you know, the schedule for them. And then when they get there, you keep track of their travel time. And it, when they punch it, say, they start work. They would go. Then when they go to leave the office, it would go travel. It would travel. Then it would go when they got to the first stop, they would hit it again. That would start the time on that job. Okay, then, when they got done with the job, they would hit it again. And each time they hit the button to do it, it would triangulate with GPS and say, this is where they were. When they hit this button, they were here.
Okay.
So then,
I understand, Dave. I understand. Okay. Yeah. So how much did you spend on these?
Almost between $4,000 and $5,000.
Okay, and why did you spend so much money? Because you figured out that if you spent $4,000 or $5,000, you might get $50,000 back.
Exactly, that's what my thought was. I would save giving back money. You know, because
was it painful to spend the $4,000 or $5,000, or were you excited to spend the $4,000 or $5,000?
No, I was glad to do it. I thought it was going to work. Oh no, my guys don't. I wouldn't have bothered. It didn't bother me to spend it. I mean, I'm a little different than some of the pool guys, though. I don't mind spending something if it works. You know, if it's something that's going to make things easier and simpler, I'll do it.
What about the other pool guys?
Probably you'll get about 50% of them to do it.
Okay.
And like I said, I don't.
So we've got, there's like a number of different ideas that could come out of this. Like,
okay.
There is the online scheduler that has pricing where they can pick, and it kind of just tells them what the pricing is, and then they can fill that form out, and then it'll notify your staff and create a calendar date, and then your staff can print that thing off and put it in your file folder system, and your 1 through 31. There's that. Okay. There's that as one system.
Okay.
Then there's another system that could be created altogether, which is just an iPhone/Android smartphone application that just allows your pool guys to clock in and clock out and the GPS location of where they are. That could be another one. Now they can end up talking together, but they could start as two completely separate products. Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which of those two products, which of those two situations would you want first?
The first one?
Yeah, you can't have both right away.
The clocking would probably be the best. That would probably save you the most money with people saying they want that if you could prove it.
What, so can you go ahead and restate why you would want that one first?
Because if you can track where your guys are at and prove it, then the people cannot say, no, they weren't here. And I give away a lot because of that.
Right.
That's probably more than the other one.
Okay. And so the, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, if I give up the time, giving up time, that's probably more money than the mistakes on, you know, did it the right job when they were here.
Okay. And so if you had this and they could clock in and out and you could get, and you could bill what you're actually supposed to bill.
Correct.
How much would that add to your bottom line? Not including the mistakes.
Not including that. I would say at least, I know, like that's a big number. It is. I would say 25 to 30,000 on that part alone.
Okay. And you spent four to five.
That's the big thing is the money I give back in time is probably the most. That's probably the top dollar thing. Because time is expensive.
Does this grind on you on a daily basis?
Yeah. Yeah. Keeping track of the time is probably the biggest thing to do.
And, like, does it typically grind on you more in the morning or the night, or, like, when does, like, do you get called, like, do you field the calls from the homeowners that say that you weren't there, or does your wife take those calls?
She takes them at first, and I end up dealing with them.
And then, so what happens when they call her? What does she do?
Well, usually they're mad, and of course her attitude is, you know, this is what they've got, and all that, they give you a call.
And then what happens when you call? Like, what happened? Okay, hold on. Before you call.
Well, what I do when I get the information that somebody's got a complaint with time or like that, I first go to the guys. I look at the job. So I go back and look at the job ticket, see what was there, what was done. Then I go back and see where they were before and where they were after. I go and look at what jobs they did before and what job they did after. And I look at it. Then I go talk to them and say, look, this is what's happening. You know, what time were you really there? What's going on? You know what I mean? I try and do what I can. And like I said, my guys don't lie. So, and once in a while, we'll find out where it was. They got the wrong time down there or something. I mean, it does happen. That's why I say if you could track it, it would probably be better.
Well, so
you can say, look, babe. Go ahead.
Well, no, I interrupted. I think you were going to say something good.
Yeah, so I think if you could track it, and then that way, you don't have to waste their time, because when I talk with them on the phone, it takes their time away from what they're doing. I mean, it wastes a lot of time, you know, trying to validate where they were, because a lot of times people aren't home when we go, you know. And then when people call in, some guys, they just wonder, well, are you even home? You know, usually you're not there, but I don't say that. You know what I mean? I take the customer's right side every time. You know what I mean, to start with. And I do that just because that's good customer service. You have to look at their side until you find out facts, and you can prove them wrong. And if you can't prove them wrong, well, then you take the hit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, it's I'll give up $20 or $30 or $100 or whatever it is just to keep your business. So,
Dave, if you do 10 jobs, how many of those 10 jobs would this happen?
10 jobs, I would say, probably, it would be probably 10%. We probably get about 10%.
And how many jobs will you do a year, 400 or 500?
No, I have about 200 steady customers.
Okay, so you got to deal with 20 of these.
200 steady customers that you have. You would count on at least four, I would say on the average, four stops per customer a year. That would be a good way to figure. So if you got what's that, 200, it'd be 400, and it'd be, 800 stops.
Hey, so maybe you are a math major, Dave.
No, I'm not. Otherwise, I could figure it out faster, right?
Okay, so 800 stops.
You probably have figured out as soon as I said it, right?
Yeah, but no, actually, no, I had no idea what it was. What? So you got 800 stops a year.
Yeah.
And so it's not per customer, it's per stop. So is that 10% of 800?
That's what I would say, 10%. That's how I would say 10%. So you're looking at 80 stops that you get some kind of time complaint.
And so is this like something that happens more than once a week for you?
Oh, probably, yeah. I mean, I get, at least, and that, you know, like I said, it's more during the openings and closings, and you know what, it's just any time, I guess. It's really, that's probably one of the people just try to, they're trying to save money on time. I mean, what better way to have somebody come work at your house and then complain about, well, they weren't here when they said they were, or they weren't here this long. I mean, and that's the hardest thing to prove to me. I can't, how do I prove it, you know? And it is. It's a hard thing. You know? That's why I say sometimes you want to go to flat fees. But, and I was looking at flat fees to people, but if that's not fair to the customer and it's not fair to the company, it can go either way. I could say, okay, I could look at your pool and say, okay, your opening is going to be $800 flat fee. Okay? I send my guys out there. So that's a flat fee. So what if they get in a hurry? And this will happen with other customers at flat fee. The guys go out there and do a bad job. They leave, then they come back, and then you go to the place and say, hey, you know, your guys were here. They come out. Well, they did what they said they were going to do. You know, they didn't vacuum. They didn't take the time to do it right because they wouldn't get their butt out of there. So they can go to the next job and charge them for doing what they're supposed to do that they don't do because they're in a hurry because the boss is saying, look, I want you to hurry. You get paid this much for that job. That's all you get. So the guys are in a hurry because they only get paid so much. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see happen with the people that say, look, this is what your opening bill's going to be. And, you know, it's like my customers that get some of the things from mailers from the other companies, and they say, well, look, they got a thing that says they'll open the pool for this much. I go, okay, now let's read down their list, okay? Let's check off everything my guys do when they're there. And they check it all off, and they say, okay, now, look, how much is that going to cost you? Oh, man, that's $950. I said, okay, what was your cost to open from us? Oh, my gosh, you're much cheaper. I said, there you go. You know, so when they flat see them, the guys don't do as much, and they leave a mess. I mean, you know how hard it is. You've got your pool's a hard one to get cleaned up, too, so you know. If you had somebody go out and you flat feed, how much trouble you'd have.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, let's circle back here for a second, Dave. So you've got 80 of these calls you field a year of pissed off customers who are challenging the time.
Right.
And you've got 20,000, you said, in lost revenue?
Probably.
Okay.
Correct.
And you've got to take these calls, and you've got to take the back and forth. So you've got, so you've not only got the 20,000, but you've got your personal time and your energy.
Yep.
And I can
kind of, exactly.
I mean,
and the frustration, the headaches. Yeah, exactly.
And I can imagine. I mean, at the end of the day, has there ever been a day where you've had more than one of these kind of calls?
No, there's been a few. Usually, it's And sometimes I go a day without a call. But,
and how are those days compared to the ones where you make call, where they have the calls?
Well, that's always better. When I don't have to deal with stuff, I'm more productive, you know that.
Right.
Much nicer. And like I said, I mean, you try to get time off yourself, so you know how that is.
So let's just say that you don't have to, or let's say that these calls are fielded, and you could wait, like, so you get the call from the client.
Right.
And you could wave a magic wand, and anything could, and you could make anything happen when that client calls. What would you have in your perfect world happen there when the client calls your wife?
That she can handle it. In other words, say, well, look, hey, John Smith, you know, I'll send you out a copy of the download for the guys right at your house. I'll send you a copy. This is what you ordered. This is what you've ordered, you know. Here's what we're going to get, and she could actually handle it without me. I mean, that's what, you know, that's my goal is somebody, that person answered the phone, to satisfy that customer to where they're happy about it and they understand, well, yeah, they worked here that long, or okay, this was done, this is what's happened. So if that's, yeah, that person should be able to answer the phone, the person that's on the phone handle it. And I know it's not going to always happen, but that would be the magic thing right there.
Okay.
That it could be handled in this. You know, because let's face it, all of us as customers, because I look at the customer side, because I look at the kid, that's me too, is if I could be satisfied and things are right and I don't have to deal with it other than make a phone call and say, hey, you know, you charged me for 2.5 hours, you guys are only here for 45 minutes. You know, why? And that's usually the thing, why? You know, you guys won't hear that long. And I know they're just, a lot of them are just full of it. So you can't say that to them. So, well, look, I've got a time tracker here. And you know what? Those time trackers work because when we had calls like that, if it wasn't showing them in Australia, we could send them a copy of that, you know, email it to them or mail it to them, you know, or if it was a stop, even a weekly stop that we go to every week, we could take it to them and drop it to them the next week and say, look, this is where they were at. But sometimes you'd pull it up and they wouldn't be at the house. And then you look like, well, okay, Dave. Okay, so, you know, you just, exactly. So the magic wand would be the person that answered the phone in the office could deal with something like that.
And then what would that mean?
You a happy, satisfied person.
And then what would that mean for you? What would that do for you personally?
It means I'm going to go make more money selling more stuff.
And how does that feel?
Well, it feels like $1 million, buddy.
And what do you, like, what would you guesstimate, like, a price that you would pay for this, knowing that you're losing 20 grand, knowing that it's your personal time, knowing that you could make more money, knowing that it's your energy wasted? I mean, like, what would price be?
I would, you know what, I'd spend up to $5,000 if I knew it worked. Because I know it'd be, if I can invest it that one time, and I could spend that much, and I know it's gonna pay itself back quick, I would pay that much for it.
Okay. What I envision, you know, for, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, what I was gonna say is, if I could spend one quarter of the money to save the money, I would do it.
Got it. Any other thoughts there?
Now say it again.
Any other thoughts there?
Yeah, that's it.
What I envision is this would probably be a more attractive situation for you. It would not be a lump sum or anything like that, but it would be more of a monthly fee, because it would be a hosted software solution that you wouldn't have to manage. So, perfect. You know, you might not look at spending, it might not be $5,000 up front, but more like, I don't know, let's just say the most extreme it would be like, say, $500 a month or, yeah, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something like that. Or, you know, yeah, that would be good because, you know, between, yeah, $400 or $500 a month would be good. If it works and everything is doing what it's supposed to do, it would not be a problem.
And it did that whole magic wand stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know of any other pool like when you're with other pool company owners, do you guys talk about lost revenue because of disputes of time?
Not a lot, but I could, because like, you know, I get around in the different states and go to the show, so I could talk to a lot of different owners about it.
I mean, do you get the sense that you're not alone here? Do other people have different solutions for this, or what would you like? If there was like, yeah, go ahead.
I think it's probably one of the big things that people have is, you know what they've come up with solutions. Like I said, some people just go and they don't deal with it. You just let this is what it is. I'm going to sue you. I mean, that's not the track I'd want to do. You know, that's my last thing I would want to do. I'd rather go 5 months or 4 months without a payment than say, oh, well, okay. Sorry, that's what it forgot it. Here, we'll send it. Okay, great, I'm happy. We'll see you come spring. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Wait, say that again. What do you mean?
Well, you know, it'd be better. It's like waiting for a payment. I'd rather wait for a payment than have a happy customer and make sure that, you know, at least I'm getting recouping my money. You know, it's even like, you know how I'll make tickets they put. And I don't even know if it's still there. I got to look at them. But on the invoices, if you don't pay within 15 days or whatever, 30 days, then we go back and charge interest. And it's, I mean, we've done a legal thing that you can do to charge interest, but you know how that is. People don't want to pay interest, and yeah. It's a hard thing to collect. Yeah. And it's not worth losing the customer over that interest, but it does add up very quickly. I've got one guy that had interest up $2,500 interest the time he went to pay. He goes, here's what I owe you. I said, well, now wait a minute. You haven't paid him this long. Here's your interest build up. You know what I mean? It's like, that guy, you know, I lost a customer. Well, I purposely lost a customer because he didn't ever want to pay. Well, I said, look, you got to pay me the interest. You have neglected it time and time again. You've lied to me about it. You know, either you pay or I'm not coming back again.
And what happened?
He got somebody else to come out and put a school up. And then he called me, Peter, and saying, Dave, that was the worst experience I ever had. And I said, well, I need you there. Still haven't seen the money, so I still won't go back.
How much is that for you that is missing?
What do you mean? How much in revenue do I miss from that customer?
Yeah.
That customer probably spent about $2,500 a year.
That sucks.
Yeah.
But it sucks to have a shitty, it sucks worse to have a shitty customer, so.
Right. Well, that's the thing is, and I did that this year. I mean, the guys that were just habitual and not paying. Well, this guy owed for, let me think what it was. He owed for a heater, two closings, and an opening that he hadn't paid for. So that tells you it was 2.5 years. You know, and it's like, you know, enough's enough.
And you said you had something like $225,000 in outstanding accounts receivable you're waiting for right now?
Yeah, I think that it might be down a little bit now, but last time I looked.
That sucks.
You know, that really does, because I don't borrow money. That's my money. It really sucks.
Man. So, this is pretty fascinating. Like next steps would be here. Well, gosh, Dave, I've learned about like 3 or 4 different problems we could tackle, but it sounds like the most pressing, most exciting, and most rewarding for you would be the time tracking with the clocking in and out of the GPS location.
Accurate, yeah.
And then
go ahead.
And then if they call your wife can just like send an email off to them with a link they can click on to see the location and the time that they were at their place.
Yep.
And you're good to go.
Yeah, if that could happen, that would be a good thing.
And do you have any other friends of different pool companies that you might be able to like email me or make an introduction that I could see if we could validate that this idea would be needed with them as well?
Sure. I can get them for you. I don't have them on the top of my head.
No, that's fine.
When I get that, I'll give it to you. And I'll drop these pocket clocks over and you can look at them and check in and see what you think about it. I mean,
Don't worry about the pocket clocks. I don't need to see them. I know what they are.
Okay.
And then you can just email me, or I'll email you after this. And you
can
just
give me an email.
Reply back with the other pool company owners.
Yep.
How did this... Like, I guess we just ended up doing that whole call that we wanted to do for the longest time. How did this call feel for you, just kind of being able to explain your problems and have me listen?
No, it's good. No, it's a good thing. Maybe it looks like there might be see if we can make some light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, and would you be open to, beta testing this as we build it and kind of like helping to refine it and whatnot and being sort of like a champion first user for the product?
Sure.
Cool. And your guys have like smartphones, like iPhones and Androids?
Yeah, the Androids.
Okay.
Yep.
Dude, that's all I got. We could talk a lot longer, I think, but let's end there.
you're going too much. Go there, let's see what happens. All right.
So next steps are I'll talk to maybe some other of your pool guys, validate if it's needed with them. Then if that works, then what's that?
I said, yeah, I'll go ahead and get you the list. Go ahead and email me. I'll get you a list of some. How many do you want? 10? You know, you want some from different parts of the country. What do you want?
What do you think is best?
Like I said, it's probably everywhere. Why don't I go ahead and get you a couple here that I know? Get a couple from here, and then I'll talk to some like down in Florida, where that's more. There's more pools and more companies. I'll see if I can get one or two from there. Maybe from Hawaii, I'll get one from there, and then I'll see if I can get a couple from, you know, check with Texas or California, see if I can get somebody.
That'd be awesome. How many different pool companies are like in the country, would you guesstimate?
Well, you remember here, there's like 6 major companies in town, I think, here. But if you look, like Florida, there's tons of them. I mean, I went on a spent air trip and there were 1,900 people there. So figure 3 per company. And that doesn't cover the slew of them. I mean, you know, the National Pool Show is in Vegas, and they have these pool shows in the country. And I mean, there's a lot of pool companies. You know, we have in Polk County only 6,000 pools. Now, you might have 6,000 pools in one town in Florida. You know, everybody's got pools down south. This is your big market areas for the pool industry. The big market areas is Florida, Texas, California, Arizona, Nevada. Those are your majors. You know, the major top ones right there. And then you got Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. You know, and then you can go up the East Coast, you know, up that way. The Central States area is probably the lower pool per capita. So your big areas are down south, you know, of course. Did I lose you?
Nope, I'm here. So you've got a 1,900 at the pool show. Divide that by 3, 500 pool companies there, 6,000 pools here in Des Moines, and there's 6 major pool companies, so maybe 1 pool company per 1,000 pools.
Well, you've got independents. I just gave you majors. I would say most companies have 3. Yeah, it could be 500 at the most.
Okay, but that's just at that pool show. That's probably like 20% of the actual base of pool companies.
Probably.
Okay, so do you think it would be safe to say there's more than 2,000 different pool companies in the country?
Oh, yeah, I would assume that for sure.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks, Dave.
Okay. All right. Have a good day, and we'll talk to you later, man.
All right, man. Later, dude.
Good boy.
There you have it. And if you want more from Dane Maxwell, his site is thefoundation.io. And on my site, Mixergy, we've got interviews where he talks about how he uses this process, where Sam Ovens actually talks about how he used this process to go from no idea to an idea to customers and then to build product. All those interviews and so many others are available for you on Mixergy.com. Thanks for being a part of this. Bye.